Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it sincerely. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Middleton. What's happening?
Oh, not much, Gil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Bet Bash week once again. So we are lucky enough to get the drift. Everybody kind enough to make the walk over. They used to come all the way down to the South Point to hang out with us. Bet Bash week, which was super, super nice of everyone. Today, Carl Sack from Killer Sports. Carl used to be the NBA guru over at Dr. Bob. He's got NBA season win totals to give us. He will drop by here momentarily. Rufus Peabody, maybe the most successful bettor of his generation, will show up a little later on, hang out with us. And then everybody's favorite, Steve Fezzik. Steve Fezzik, who is attending Bet Bash, but of course is a local as well. Steve Fezzik, we decided, we're like, what do we want to talk about today more than anything? And Fezzik's like, you know what? Let's just talk about what actually makes a winning better. Like, what is the most direct line from point A to point B to being a winning better? So we'll get into that and a whole bunch more. He's got NFL preseason thoughts as well. We'll get into all that with Fezzik a little later on. I want to start the show in a way that I don't normally. With tweets, because I got a couple this morning. I was just piecing together, right? Because you get tweets sometimes, you're like, what are they talking about? Why so serious? Tweets in, he goes, convinced that Kelly is the one who sabotages Chris Felica on a numbers game. His audio was crystal clear talking about food on Follow the Money. And I'm like, food on Follow the Money? First of all, the reason that his audio is not clear is because we broadcast from a food court, for God's sakes, right? Right in front of Bacon Nation. So sometimes the audio is not as good. But then I'm like, food on Follow Money? SN right. Question. Are you going to talk about fast food rankings again? Do we have to? Don't get me wrong. I enjoy an occasional cheeseburger. Well, let me just say, because we're stacked with guests, I would like to chime in. Matt Eumanns, with his annual fast food top 50 power rankings for 2024. So I pieced it together. He was on Follow the Money this morning. He does it once a year, of course, this time of year. The piece is at VSiN.com. And he's got a new old one, or an old new one at the top, which he's all about these two places, right?
Oh, Portillo's
and I couldn't remember the other, Culver's. Portillo's and Culver's. There they are on the screen right there. I have never, not only have I never been,
you don't
I've
know.
Never seen. Where are these places?
You never seen a Culver's?
I don't think I have.
Oh, so it's a Wisconsin-based, but it's kind of like the version of Dairy Queen for us.
Yeah.
But oh man, I love Culver's. I wish it's so close to getting to Nevada. It's in Arizona. So if you want to go make a bet, you can go down and get Culver's. It is great. Ice cream is custard is phenomenal.
I do want to chime in here though, because with all rankings, you want to like point out certain things. So he's got McDonald's at 5. Now I know it's you know beyond the too cool for school to mention McDonald's, but what do I do every day when I leave here? I go downstairs. There's a McDonald's here at the D, by the way, where we broadcast from. By the way, Derek Stevens sits in his office for 10 hours every day plotting to rid ourselves of that McDonald's downstairs. But I go to that McDonald's. McDonald's breakfast, you can make the case, sort of overshadows this entire list, right? Because the McDonald's breakfast is so good.
It's a different category, I think.
It almost has to be a different category,
yes.
Right?
Yes, so you enjoy the hash browns.
Hash browns guy.
I love, and I got to hold myself to just once a week,
right.
The bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. The McGriddles are really the big thing.
The McGriddle is cheating. There's syrup in it.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, so I mean, and McMuffins are sausage McMuffins. It's just, so I just want to point that out. But McDonald's breakfast threatened to pollute this every year, and I'm not sure if that's the reason why he has them all the way up at 5. The other thing is, there's the Chipotle conundrum, which I think he should call this. By the way, Matt Eumanns, medical marvel. The New England Journal of Medicine has written articles, or they will write articles about Matt Eumanns, who sustains, lives off fast food and nothing else but fast food. They will take his an image of his arteries long past his passing, and they will hold it up to the light, and they will just be like, it's magnificent. Look at him. I think there's a Chipotle conundrum, right, because Chipotle can be awesome, and then you can go to the same Chipotle the next week, and it's terrible. So there's not enough consistency with it. That's their problem. And I just think a bucket of KFC is still. And Arby's. Oh, by the way, if you're an East Coast guy, Arby's is a staple. There's one Arby's out here, and every time I pass it, I'm like, oh, Arby's.
See, I've never been a big – I will say the Arby's curly fries are very, very good. But I was never a big Arby's fan. But I will say – Big thing with like a Chipotle or a Cafe Rio.
Yeah.
I grade you on how you roll the burrito. How many bites can I take before the burrito breaks up on me and I've got to eat it with a fork?
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have a bit of a food thing on this show as well that has been 2 years in the making, 3 years.
We're not talking about the eggnog for Kelly again, right?
No, but it does involve Kelly because one day I came in here and I talked about how great this sushi I had the previous night. I made this comment one time.
Oh,
and
yes.
And Kelly says, what's the name of it? And I, apparently a natural gatekeeper, is what the kids call it, said, oh, I'm not telling you. And so for 2 years, I have hid the identity of this place. We have gotten sushi tweets from that one incident. We have gotten sushi tweets every day, at least one or two, since then. People always fascinated by where a good sushi spot is. And I said, the last day of the Astros bet in July, someone asked me on Twitter, said, if the Astros end up pulling this out, will you give the name of the sushi spot? And I said, yes, I will. And the Astros pulled it out. So we were supposed to do it this week during Bet Bash, but I didn't put two and two together. Kelly's not here. So Kelly deserves to be here when we do it. So I promise you I will do this, assuming they allow me to. I'm going to have to ask them, but I think they will. And then we will set a date here this month to give out the name of the sushi place. That's it. So when you're in Vegas, and by the way, I had some great sushi the other night at Kabuto here, which is a tried and true. They've stepped it up again. Sen is great, but this spot, a little out of the way, Knock Place, which is just fantastic.
So, you want to hear something disappointing?
No.
I'm not a big sushi guy. Never been.
Well, Wyatt, I didn't look at you and take you as a sushi guy.
No, I mean, you know,
it just never
occurred to me. I'm sorry to offend you. Well, you did bet against my Braves to miss the playoffs, so you know, I think we're now even.
About baseball. Because I have a Braves bet. Will Hill, who's coming up also to give us his place, he has far longer odds on the Braves to miss than I do. We have 8-1 on that show in that VSiN contest. A numbers game has Braves to miss the playoffs at 8-1. I have them real life at +750 to miss the playoffs. The Braves are 1.5 games clear of being on the outside looking in the NL playoff picture. The problem is the Mets aren't cooperating. As the team currently on the outside looking in, just on the outside looking in. And for me, that's a twofold thing. Let's update the August, the very early, too early to update, quite frankly, August record update. Just five, six games into the month of August. Obviously, this is way early. But right now, it's the Twins and the Red Sox, both at 4-1. Twins would have the run differential advantage if you're scoring at home. Cubs also with 4 wins at 4-2. So Twins, Red Sox, Cubs are the quickest out of the gate. The Mets lose to the Reds. The Mets are the team that I have in the month of August at 20-1. Hope Kelly passed that along when I was gone. 2-3. They lose to the Rockies last night. And this is an easy part of their schedule that they were supposed to, at least in my August handicapping, they're supposed to exploit this part of the schedule. So they are behind the eight ball already. This is what happened with the Royals bet last year. It started 1-4. Royals ended up finishing 9th. But that 1-4 start kind of really torpedoed them. So I hope that's not happening with the Mets here. But the Mets are killing us in two bets. Not only August, but that Braves to miss the playoffs, who are just really getting help from the Mets. That's the only reason why the Braves are still on the inside in the number 3 wildcard position. But it's just that year for your team, man. They just have too many injuries. And sometimes that happens.
Well, the good thing right now is Michael Harris is starting his rehab assignment in AAA, so they're at least getting some help. The one injury that really just stunk was the Ozzie Albies. He broke his wrist. It was a play in the 9th inning. It was a 5-2 game, runners at first and third. Runner at first tries to steal second. It's 2 outs in the inning. I was like, just let the guy go to second. They decide to throw. It's a bad throw. Ozzie breaks his wrist. I'm like, this is the type of year for the Atlanta Braves. So you just hope that Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies are able to come back and provide that spark to get him into the playoffs.
That, of course, on top of Acuna and Fried and everybody else.
Well, Fried's back.
Fried is back, right, yes. But he was gone for a stretch as well.
For a little bit. I think he's had 2 stints. He wasn't very sharp on Sunday. Yeah, the last 2 games for the Braves, I've kind of turned it off by the 5th.
Yeah, but the problem is you stack them all up together. It's just that year kind of thing. By the way, Lou Finicaro chimes in. Correct, the McMuffins are awesome. He's about the McDonald's breakfast as well. Sort of trumps everything. Okay, tennis. We do have 3 tennis plays today. Again, all our picks, every host, every guest, every sport, as we say every day, at VSiN.com/guest for VSiN.com/picks, pardon me, for VSiN subscribers. I do tennis every day. Zach Cohen does tennis every day. And since grass, it's been great on a match-to-match basis. We got killed on the futures, though, at at the Olympics, but had a fantastic Olympics. Yesterday, we split the two plays, but they were both dogs, so that was a small profit. Magdalena Frech came through for us as a small dog, whereas Gabrielle Diallo did not on the men's side. Today, three plays, and these are all in Canada, so no chance of them happening here in this hour, but they all start at different times during the day. The men are in Montreal. The ladies are in Toronto. And one of them is our old girl, Katie Volynets. Numbers game listeners are very familiar with our Katie Volynets bets in the past. Her last name is Volynets. She became a professional tennis player. She pronounced it Volynets, by the way. She's plus 118. That's where I got it against Elise Mertens. Alexei Popyrin on the men's side, plus 131 against Tomas Makach. Pardon me. So we're on Popyrin there at plus 131. And then the only favorite, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina at minus 125 against Roman Safin. So it is Volynets, Popyrin, and Davidovich Fokina on the men's side. I will check the prices to make sure they haven't gotten out of whack.
And those picks are CLV. Those picks are so good. They're in the website twice.
Yes. What?
Gil,
right.
Gil texts me the plays. I'm like, oh, I need to enter these in. He goes, no. They've already been entered. I needed them for a graphic. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, they're in there and I can't delete them. So hopefully.
We can put them in, but we can't take them out.
You get like a 10-minute grace period.
Yeah, that's an interesting setup. Okay. All right. Well, Visa.com/picks for subscribers. If you missed it the first time, Wyatt has put it a second time. All right. Carl Sack on the other side from Killer Sports. Used to be with Dr. Bob when I was back there with Dr. Bob. Best NBA handicapper I have ever witnessed in my life. That is the truth. He's got NBA season win totals. On the other side, it is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you haven't heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. And to celebrate, VSiN's offering its lowest price ever, special three-year offer. This week, only get 3 years of VSiN Pro access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. That's betting splits, betting systems, and analysis from professional handicappers. 24/7 video access, plus access to all of our betting guides. Limited time offer available to both current and new subscribers. And if you're an existing subscriber that'd like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@vsin.com. And if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit vsin.com/special to sign up today. That's VSIN/special. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, the voice of UNLV women's basketball, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin, who apparently is enjoying Florida so much that he tweeted out yesterday, everybody should have a week where they don't look at a point spread at all. He's very excited to be there. So good for him. You
Kelly,
see that tweet?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, also, I was texting Kelly yesterday. He did win a Olympic bet that Drew Dinsick gave
out. It was a 1500, right?
Yes.
Drew gave out a long shot in the 1500 that was cashed.
I watched the replay. Apparently, there's a big rivalry between the two top guys. And then the American that won made a great pass on the last straightaway to win the gold. It was a fantastic race to watch.
That's awesome. Drew all about the Olympics. Thrilled to have him during this Olympiad. It is Bet Bash 4, Spanky's Bet Bash, happening in Las Vegas this week. And I'm always grateful for everybody who comes on over to the show on a numbers game. The best gamblers, the biggest gamblers in the world, got panels, got events. Including today. My old buddy Carl Sack joins us right now. Carl joins us, not courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's right here because of Bet Bash on set here at Bar Canada. First of all, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You and I are fortunate enough to have been, you know, part of our sports betting sort of evolution was with Dr. Bob.
It's like the Bill Belichick coaching tree, except it's the Dr. Bob coaching, you know.
That's right.
Handicapping.
By the way, I could not be prouder to be part of
Absolutely.
That coaching tree.
Yeah.
Bob calls me out of the blue last week, just randomly calling me. And as Bob does, I was like, coming for Bet Bash. He's like, no, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you mean? Where you just said you're going to Mexico, right? He's too busy. He's got two kids now, so then he does have to immerse himself in college football. But then we start talking. I said, I played tennis. He's like, oh, you know, I have a 5.0 serve. I'm like, okay, Bob, time to go. time to go. Game is 3.5, but his serve is 5.0, and he had to let me know about that.
I know that he's prepping for college and NFL, and this is, you know, it's coming up on busy season. So,
all right, so I led off by saying, you are the best NBA handicapper I have ever witnessed. I know that might make you uncomfortable. I know a lot of people say Aaron Rinning is the best they've seen. I don't know Aaron as well as I know Carl. I've followed Carl's plays literally daily for years. We are, neither one of us are with Bob anymore. You are now at Killer Sports, and then there's Killer Cappers. Explain the distinction.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Aaron Renning's very sharp. I met him before and know him. Killer Cappers is where I sell my NBA picks. Killer Sports is kind of a sister company that I run, and everything out of there is statistics, hard information, facts, database, ability to query databases. We actually just got tennis up yesterday, all the data that I was telling you about.
Oh,
so you can kind of
filter
by surface or indoor, outdoor, based on player, men's and women's.
All right, so killersports.com is where they go for that.
Correct.
Okay, a database, meaning a database that helps with their handicapping. So in other words, there is whatever method or approach you use of your handicapping, but then the theory being it is always beneficial. You're probably not seeing the full picture unless you have some sort of historical base to look at as well.
I don't see how you can handicap. I mean, you can look at emotional edges and stuff like that here and there, but I don't see how you can not at least have some kind of math-based approach to handicapping nowadays. You've got to be able to quantify everything.
Give an example. So like in the NFL, right, if someone wanted to find out what's a team's record coming off a bye versus a team that is, on short rest, just to use a very generic example, you just query that, bang.
That's a perfect example, yeah. It allows you to quantify at a high level what a bye week is worth.
Yeah, and it is available on a subscription basis. It's available in one shot. What is the structure of that?
Right now, the database is free. We are working on. You have to know SDQL, which is sports data query language, for the most part to do intricate queries. But we're working on a English to SDQL translator that's AI powered that I think will make it easy for everybody to run queries.
Okay. All right. Make it easy. People will put that information.
Yes.
People would love to have at their disposal.
Yes.
For free, I believe you just mentioned. All right. Yeah. Season win totals, NBA. Let's give a few. What's one?
So the first one, I was looking at the lines yesterday. The first one I like is actually the second highest one on the board, Oklahoma City. They are young. They are getting better. They are deep. I think that the when it comes to season win totals, I think that you're really looking at injuries, which are hard to predict, as well as depth and teams that are growing, and that's Oklahoma City. Their season win total is 56. I bet it over. They went over last year. I think that the two big there's a few different pieces to it. First of all, they added Isaiah Hartenstein, who they paid a lot of money for, and rightfully so. He is a great player. I shouldn't say great. He is a well above average player, and he earned his contract, and their GM, Presti, knows that. That's why he paid for him. I think he's going to be a great fit there. And they also added Caruso. They traded Giddey for Caruso.
Huge.
Caruso is really underrated. He always gets Defensive Player of the Year votes. I think Giddey's younger. Giddey's got a longer career ahead of him. But in terms of the impact for next year, Caruso's going to be an upgrade.
We're showing 56.5. Would you play it there as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I saw, I looked at BetOnline and I looked at DraftKings yesterday, and give or take a half a win, yeah, they were right there.
OKC at 56 or 56.5 over.
Yeah.
Pick number two.
This one's probably a little tough to bring to the counter. But I was surprised when I saw the Clippers at 40.5. Basically, all they have to do is finish 500.
Yep.
And you're talking about a team with Kawhi, who's it's always a gamble. How healthy is he going to be, right? But you've got Kawhi and you've got Harden at the top, and they've got they definitely have depth. They got Derek Jones Jr. from Dallas, who is an underrated role player, solid defensive player. They still have the depth in Batum. They brought back Batum. They have Zubac. They have Coffey, Terrence Mann, Norman Powell. Enough guys to kind of, you know, keep the boat sailing if Kawhi isn't healthy or doesn't play all the games, which we know he won't. And then I think one of the other variables here is that it may sound weird, but I think they got rid of Westbrook, and he's really at the end of his career, and he was a liability, in my opinion, for them last year. He's had a great career, but the teams were leaving him wide open last year, and he still only shot 27% from three-point land. You can't have a guard on the court in today's NBA that's shooting like that. He's also a below-average free-throw shooter now.
Addition by subtraction, in other words.
I think so, yeah. I mean, and they've got enough youth, guys like Boston and Coffey that are going to develop. They also got another guy from Utah. Another really underrated player, in my opinion, is, what's his first name? Dunn, the guard.
Chris Dunn?
Yeah, he was the fifth overall pick when he came out of college, and he's been injured. He's been tossed around. He hasn't played a lot of minutes, but he was actually, behind Lauri Markkanen, he was Utah's best plus-minus player last year, and I think he's going to contribute a little bit as well. So,
Chris Dunn. So Clippers over, just got to get to 500, over 40.5. The Thunder, 56 over. You got 30 seconds for the last one. Just give me an abridged version of the last.
Well, we'll see how many games Embiid plays, but I would go Philadelphia over. I think adding George, of course, is going to help them. Another year for Maxey. They added Caleb Martin from Miami, who, if you recall, was practically the conference finals MVP 2 years ago against Boston. And I love their coach. Nurse is great. They underperformed last year. They got bounced in the first round. I think they're going to have something to say this year.
What number did you see on Philly? I'm seeing 51.5.
Yeah, 51, 51.5, okay. 52 even okay. In that range, sure.
Carl Sack, everybody, killersports.com, killercappers.com, where you can find his plays as well. Great seeing you, man.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me on.
Will Hill with all of his plays on the other side. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The rare numbers game sneezing fit during the break. Are you ready to up your game, by the way, this football season? We got both of our guides out now, VSiN's college and NFL betting guides. Whether you're gearing up for college matchups or the NFL grind, our expert insight, stats, and predictions are your ultimate playbook for success. Just $175. That's it. With that, you can score VSiN Pro Access until the Super Bowl. All the tools, trends, and tips you need to crush your bets, stay ahead of the curve, available until the big game. Don't miss out on the winning opportunity that has presented itself once again. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe now to score your VSiN Pro Access. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, Fezzik, always enjoy when people... you know, people live text the show, some of our guests and friends on the show. Fezzik, who's going to be on later, he just wanted to text for folks about Carl, who was just here. For those who are unfamiliar with Carl Sack, when he was at Dr. Bob, he went by NBA Guru. And Fezzik texts in, he goes, NBA Guru kicked ass last year. I can personally vouch for that. He, quote-unquote, kicks ass every year. Dude is unbelievable with his totals plays specifically. He does sides as well, but he's primarily a totals better, and he's just... absolutely great at what he does. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jake Moratz, commenting on my Brandon Ayuk take yesterday. Said, if the 49ers get Amari Cooper in return for Ayuk, they're still all systems go for this year. But you're right. This is the last year with the fully loaded roster. I will say this, and I said it at the end of the segment yesterday. This may not happen, right? Like, Ayuk is one of these dudes. In the end, he just might be like, because the Patriots pulled out, right? So now it's Browns or Steelers, apparently. Ayuk may not want to leave in the end, and the Niners may back out at the end, and he may still be in a Niners uniform after all is said and done. Mike Stacks, Gil, I think you should have your top five sushi places in Vegas. Nash, last name Bash. I could give you a top five. Nash, sausage McMuffin with a hash brown is the Billy Walters of fast food. I agree with that. And that's why the McDonald's breakfast is like, sort of like, bam, I'll take your list. Watch this. M. Pronto, what is a trend you've talked about the last few years with week two of preseason NFL overs? Okay, you're mixing up a couple things. The week two stuff was a Dr. Bob thing back when there were four NFL preseason games. And back when there were four NFL preseason games, there was an unbelievable trend. And we're not a trend show, right? But that one was so great that going into week two, teams coming off a loss versus teams coming off a win, and then Bob had a subset he wouldn't share with us that was even better. That was a thing. But now there's only three preseason games, and it's kind of thrown everything out of whack because when there were four, they all kind of played it the same way, right? They metered it where it was like three was everybody, full systems go, and then four, they would back off. But one and two, they played pretty kosher. Now one, two, three, every team plays it differently. Some teams don't play anybody for three games. Some teams play everybody and everything in between. But the one for this week, again, all those low totals, the 34.5s and the 35s. So we're talking about Panthers, Patriots, Lions, Giants, Eagles, Ravens, Commanders, Jets, Seahawks, Chargers, and Cowboys, Rams. There are six games that have totals of 35 or lower in week one. The three-team 10-point teasers to the under, excuse me, to the over, right? So you knock it down to 25 or 24.5. If you can get beat on those, you just got a tip of the cap. But it's a one-week thing. That's what we're talking about for week one. It's kind of a brain-dead thing that we do because the totals are so low in a handful of games. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at not the Will Hill. That's two E's on the the. And, of course, he is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Again, I told him, listen, your original name of, listen, I'd like to bet more money, but I'm ambivalent about doing so, so what should I do podcast? Just go Shoulda Bet More. And he's like, okay, I'll call it Shoulda Bet More. So here we are. He's also part of the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica. What's happening, Willie?
Gilly, I don't know what I was thinking with that title. Yeah. You talked some sense to me, and I am forever grateful.
And I am forever in your stead, sir, in your debt for making that change. Listen, we had an interesting. We're all on this massive text exchange. We had this interesting thing about weather and a pitching change yesterday, and how this affects new bettors versus how we were reared. Can you explain?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're betting props, you have to be looking at the weather, especially pitcher props, over-under strikeouts. And I like this angle, and it's worked out a few times for me. But if you can time it perfectly, Kevin Roth, I think you've had on the show, does a really good job of pinpointing, hey, this is when the weather's going to hit. He really breaks it down from a betting standpoint. The sweet spot is a rain delay like two or three innings in where none of the pitchers can go over their props, but you get a delay, and then the pitchers don't come back out. So this happened, Pirates – Padres, Cease versus Bailey Falter, about a biggest pitching disadvantage or pitching disparity you can have. Cease is tremendous. Falter's not any good. So what the Pirates did, they were the home team one inning into the game or an inning and a half into the game. And Kevin Roth was on Twitter saying, why are they going to start this? It's going to pour there. Inning and a half into the game starts pouring as predicted. Cease can't come back. Falter can't come back. It's an advantage for the Pirates. Cease is wasted. I mean, both pitchers are, but that's obviously, you know, a cancellation that favors the Pirates. Padres, I think, ended up winning the game, but that's one you have to, suss out. If you can parlay both pitchers unders, if you think you're going to get that monsoon in the second, third inning, you parlay the pitchers under, strikeouts, outs, whatever, and as long as the game goes final, hey, you get like kind of a cheap winner, and of course the game could just, or the props could stay under on their own, you know, volition. And of course, people on Twitter, they have to refund Cease. What are they doing? These,
dude,
you know, crying, saying these books are doing the wrong thing by not refunding. It's like, hey, it's in the rule. I mean, if you had the under, should it be refunded? No. Like, if it's in the rules, if he throws a pitch, it's action. So that's where the advantage goes to the under player in those things. And it's just typical, hey, they got to do the right thing and refund. It's just the entitlement is just insane. It's like people just started betting. They had no idea.
It's incredible. My comment to that was, you haven't bet long enough. You're right. Not a bettor until you lose on one of those, right? Where you're like backing a starting pitcher, two innings in, 3-hour rain delay, your actual bet stays, but it was on a game that you didn't bet on, basically, because the pitchers are different. And it does suck, but it happens. And so it is such a generational thing, right? We talk about this in other arenas as well, sports betting, but it's like, oh, you soft millennials, you want a refund on this, don't you? Like the old man thing happens. But it is just so ridiculous. There's always someone who immediately goes, give me my refund. No, dude. That's what you bet on. By the way, Will means, Wyatt, just to translate, they wasted an outing, not that the pitchers were actually wasted. It's just what I want to point out.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
But also, do you think the Pirates did that on purpose? Because from all accounts, it's interesting. Again, Kevin is really good with this stuff. He's like, they are out of their minds for starting this game. But if you think about it, like we don't have a very good pitcher. Their guys have a good pitcher. We're in the middle of a, you know, we're trying to get back in the wild card race here. Do you think they would have actually done that where they start the game thinking, hey, we'll get a delay and this is going to work in our favor? And maybe the Padres probably should have sussed it out, sniffed it out and said, hey, let's use an opener and then we'll see what's going on in an inning or two. It's tricky, but I wonder if there was some gamesmanship there.
Stranger things have happened, and you're right. It wasn't just your everyday rainfall. That was a monsoon. Like, that was ridiculous. And as Kevin Roth pointed out, it was clear that it was coming. Any baseball plays today, sir?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is late to pop up. I went to look for my usual Aaron Judge to draw a walk, which has been very good to me, but they've started to adjust these properties like minus 205 to walk. So I don't know that I would recommend that. Maybe you play plate-to-plate walk appearance because I know I drew your ire, but what I meant when I drew your ire the other day was he's starting to get the Bonds treatment. We haven't seen this respect from an opponent since Bonds. Where two out, nobody on, we walk them. Nobody out, nobody on. We just walk. It's intentional walk in all situations. It's like I can't argue when you know Wells is hitting behind him or whoever. It's just, hey, why watch him hit the ball 400 feet and run around the bases? Just walk him. So maybe plate-to-plate walk appearance is a way to play it. Check the rules because some of them intentional walk doesn't count. It's just a void, so keep that in mind. But I think more of these divisions are interesting. And by the way, we had a six yesterday in Cubs-Twins. I think it was the first six we had all year. And we have another six today, Skubal against Kirby. I actually like Skubal getting a half a run in the first five. You got to lay like -$1.40. -$1.45, obviously, should be a low-scoring game, close game. I like getting the half a run there. So very unusual we see sixes back-to-back. It's almost, and I wouldn't say you have to play the over on principle, but it's very hard to stay under six in a baseball game, especially, you know, we used to see that with the DH. You'd see under 5.5, under six when it was like prime, I don't know, Kershaw versus Roy Halladay or something. But under six with no DH is a tough one to stay under. These divisions are interesting, though, because, like, I think the Yankees will probably win the division. Their August schedule is so soft. They should build up a cushion, and now the Orioles, Grayson Rodriguez couldn't make his start yesterday. He said, hey, I just don't feel right, and man, they're already thin at pitching to begin with, but plus 180 for the Orioles in some spots to win the division, that's too much. I don't think the Yankees should be that big of a favorite, and in the AL West, it's interesting. We all kind of assumed when the Astros erased that 10-game deficit in a month that they were just going to run and hide, and that was going to continue. They've shown some flaws. Their starting pitching hasn't been great. They just haven't played well in general. Seattle's plus money, but I keep waiting for Texas to join the party here. They're 14-1. They just can't seem to put together two good weeks or 10 days where they get back in the race. But Texas is 14-1. I think that might be a little long too. Or if they could just get things together for like a week, 10 days, these other teams that they're chasing are so flawed where Houston's not the Houston we're used to. Seattle still can't hit. I think Texas at 14-1 might be worth a small bet.
I'm with you, Will, and I said it yesterday and the day before, which is this is the most wide open year I can ever remember here at the beginning of August. Real quick, 30 seconds, you have a college football play for us.
SMU to win the ACC. You know, you think of the ACC, you think of Coach K, you think of Dean Smith, you think of SMU football. I think SMU is really live here. They don't have to play really four of the top five teams. They don't have to play Miami, Clemson. They get Florida State, but they get them at home. And they were top 40 in the country, offense, defense last year, yards per play. They return a lot of talent. Not impossible they get to a title game with their soft schedule.
All right. Will, appreciate it. And I understood what you were saying about the Judge comparison to Bonds. I then completed a blitzkrieg him with the greatest Bonds stats ever. It's like, okay, I'll stop after 10. Will, thank you. Good luck with all the plays, man.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, and not the Will Hill, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We will come back. Jason Weingart with all of his bets. Rufus Peabody, the greatest bettor of his generation. And Steve Fezzik, how to be a winning bettor the quickest way. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game where sports betting lives. Skill Alexander. That's Wyatt Tomchek. And for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, back on Monday. Appreciate you being here, man.
Oh, no problem. I've been around Bar Canada a lot since I came back from my vacation. I did a week of a numbers game, 3 weeks of sharp money, and then a week and some change of a numbers game. So hopefully I am approaching that 9.5 on the producer level.
Yeah, got to go 3 months, man. Got to go 3 months.
I've accumulated 3 months.
All right. Well, yeah, but no, it has to be consecutive. It's got to be in a row, man.
Can I get an exception? Can I get a waiver?
Maybe. Well, we'll submit it to the judges.
I'll buy you some McDonald's hash browns.
Now you're talking. We get tweets of beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Chris Hartman, Gil stopped at McD's, leaving Mickey D's leaving the D each morning last week on my way to Circa. Dude, you didn't stop by? Oh, I wasn't here. That's right. Their breakfast is about the only way to start the day. The employees in there are absolute saints. I'm glad you had a good experience, man. Rob Graham, good morning, Gil and Numbers Game crew. I'm sorry I missed all three of your tennis picks for today. Would be awesome enough to repeat them again. I shall do so, sir. No problem whatsoever. They are Katie Valenets on the ladies' side. That's in Toronto. Again, these are the run-up hardcourt tournaments to the U.S. Open. Cincinnati lies in between the Canadian tournaments and the U.S. Open. Katie Valenets against Elise Mertens. Got Katie Valenets at plus 118. Alexei Popperin at plus 131 against Tomas Machach. It's actually pronounced Machach. And then Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, minus 125 against Roman Safiyan. I'm going to check on this right now for you to just to make sure that all lines are still intact and that we haven't really gone past the parameters on that as we read through the tweets, because that's always the thing, because I give these out at nighttime at VSiN.com/picks. And, so Davidovich Fokina, you can actually get a better price than I got. So absolutely, that's a play on him. Alexei Popperin, I'm not sure. Did they play that already? We'll check on Popperin. And then on Valenets should be okay to play. I'm not seeing a price on that right now. It's off the board currently. So I wonder why that is, at least to where I'm looking. This is from Jesse Welch. I will be counting down the days until the sushi reveal, even though I live in New Hampshire and have zero plans to visit Vegas. Gil nonchalantly giving two sushi restaurants, must be the most complimentary backhand of a review of a sushi restaurant can get after 2 years of keeping this one a secret, like saying the 13 Patriots are good, but not the 91 Skins. I think you mean the 07 Patriots. Maybe you mean the 13 Patriots. And then Jeff Nahill talking about what Will Hill and I were just talking about. He goes, umpires are in charge of whether a game starts in a series, is only played once a year, or second trip in team in charge first visit. I think you may have voice tweeted that because it's all so sort of rambling. But I understand what you're saying, that the umpires are in charge. But that's a brutal call. The umpires are in consultation with everybody. They're aware of weather reports. So why that game started at all is very, very suspect. Jason Weingarten joins us now from Under a Cloud of Smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening?
Good morning. How's it going, Gil?
Good.
I was told Wyatt.
You know Jason? Jason Wyatt? You guys have met me before? Jason, I was told that you might be in bed right now. Is that true?
No, I was on the couch.
Okay. Are you coming in for Bet Bash?
I am not. Maybe I'll show up, but I don't have a ticket or anything. I'm thinking maybe I come town later this week, but... No plans.
Okay. What do you bet in baseball today? What do you like?
Astros minus 126. I really like what they've done with Yusei Kikuchi and getting him in the trade. And I don't know if you saw his first start. He threw his changeup a ton more than he had any time he was in Toronto. But it's one of the few things I still kind of pay attention to in baseball that I think teams are doing that, you know, it's kind of noticeable, is that when a guy gets traded, you'll see the new team, the better organization, kind of switch up the pitch mixing, and all of a sudden a guy is quite better than he was on the old team. And you can see now how some organizations are falling behind and just not utilizing their players the best way.
We were just talking in the previous segment about the fact that it looked like everybody sort of thought it was fait accompli that the Astros were going to just overtake the Mariners, or maybe even the Rangers were just going to overtake the Mariners. And like in some other divisions, right, where things have just sort of stagnated, right, like the Orioles had every chance in the world to just break a huge lead off against the Yankees, couldn't take advantage of the Yankee swoon in most of the last month and a half. Do you feel like the Mariners have a better chance to maintain the lead in the West than they did, say, if we had this conversation 2-3 weeks ago?
You know, any time you're hanging around at the end of the season, you have a chance. You know, mathematically, you'll have a chance to take the division back or make the playoffs, whatever. I don't know. I guess the Mariners are still alive. I still prefer the Astros. I think I like their lineup better. I like their pitching better. But nothing's ever, you know, written in stone till you win. So I don't know. I guess the Mariners are still alive. I'm more I'm more surprised the Yankees are still tied for the lead in the AL East, surprisingly, how poor they played for a while.
I mean, it's a free-for-all everywhere, right? Twins and Royals within 4 and 5.5 in the American League Central. The Braves, who some, you know, if you're bullish on the Braves, you could argue they're only 6.5 out of, you know, the lead of the Phillies, who have sort of stumbled here lately, but they're only 1.5 clear of being out of the playoffs entirely. Of all teams, the Brewers, right? As big a lead with, you know, by, I guess, a half game shy of as big a lead of anybody in baseball in the NL Central, and the Dodgers clinging, can I use that word, to a 4 and 4.5 game lead against the Padres and Diamondbacks. Which of all of those do you think is going to be, when we convene here in late September, right before the postseason, which division top, not the easy one that we talked about in the West or in the East of the American League, but which of those others do you think will flip?
I don't think it's going to be the Dodgers. I want to see it.
I do too.
Just for my own entertainment, I would like to see it, but not counting on it. If anything, I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves made a little bit of run at the expense of the Phillies. Like I said, I'm very schizophrenic this year when it comes to the Braves. I want them to miss the playoffs. I also want Chris Sale to win the Cy Young. He's pitching today, so I got that to look forward to. But yeah, I don't know. I could see the Braves winning the division. I could see them missing the playoffs a lot. It's a real interesting team they got there this year.
What is I fill in for a numbers game for 1 week? It's you. It's Jason. I still love you, Jason. Will Hill. Everybody wants my Braves to miss the playoffs. What did they do to you guys? Come on.
Sorry.
We just bet on that.
Just call.
Oh,
just,
man,
we have bets. We have bets.
I don't know.
That's the reason.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to buy so many hash browns for you, Jason. What is your favorite fast food breakfast? I got you.
McDonald's hash browns.
Thank you.
All right. Looks like we are the McDonald's hash
Jason
browns.
Will even give you a hack. He'll say, get the app and you'll get deals on hash browns too. Like, I mean, he's got a whole
thing. What's the deal? The fast food rankings for VSiN are coming out this week.
They're at VSiN.com. Humans with his annual top 50 is at VSiN.com. It's prominently displayed on the front. His number one, I think, had fallen from number one last year, but is back to number one, which is Portillo's. And his number two, which was number one last year, is Culver's. Have you ever been to either?
I have. What did he put In-N-Out? Is In-N-Out in the top three?
I think he's down on In-N-Out. In-N-Out is out of the top ten.
Because I read the beginning where he said he eats like fast food like 3 to 5 times a day or something, and I was like, okay, well at least he knows his stuff. Like,
bro, he eats nothing else. He does not eat anything else. Oh, no. He's a medical marvel, man. I'm serious.
Seriously.
Man, it's amazing that he's upright. In-N-Out is out of the top 10. I will give him this on In-N-Out. Fries not good. And I will say this about McDonald's. When we were kids, McDonald's fries were soggy. That's when they were at their best. Soggy fries at McDonald's. I cooked them too much after that. Anything else in baseball?
That's it today. Just the Astros. I'm kind of going back and forth whether or not I like the balanced season sort of the balanced schedule sort of thing. Leaning towards actually liking it this year because it seems like it's creating slightly more competitiveness down the stretch. I mean, obviously the bad teams are still really bad, but you know, you want competitive races and you want stuff converging at the end of the season. It looks like we're getting that.
If the Cy Young was voted on today, who do you think wins both leagues?
Sale and Skubal. I don't think Skeens wins. I think he could have won if they brought him up at the beginning of the season, and then in the end that's going to come back to bite them. But I just look at the Tom Tango stuff every week, and Skeens isn't in the top two or three still, so not worried about it. But I think Sale still has the leash.
Do you buy in the Tango numbers? Do you buy that Lugo is as close to winning it as is indicated?
No, not really. I mean, the numbers are what they show. So if he's up there, he's up there. But at the end of the day, I don't see them being like, hey, let's give it to this guy on the Royals. You know, but it's happened. It's, you know, the Cy Young is the one award where you win based on your number is not on the
that's right
the voting.
And the formula is the formula. He's hit 31 out of the last 36. So if he's up there at the end, you know, there you go. Jason Weingarten, everybody, from Under a Cloud of Smoke, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Coming back, the greatest bettor of his generation, Rufus Peabody, next on A Numbers Game.